Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's part one of Pastor Michael's teaching in 2 Samuel 15, 24 through 16, 14, called Persevering Through Trials.
James 1, verse 12 says, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. When we go through trials, that's often how we feel. We feel under them. We feel like they're weighty. They're pressing us down. In fact, the word that for perseverance is hupomone, and it literally means to remain under. It means to stand your ground even though you are going through something tough. On Wednesday night, we've shifted to the book of 2 Peter. And among a group of characteristics that Peter says you should be adding to your spiritual life, he talks about perseverance. And I gave a definition of perseverance I want to give to you this morning. And that is this. Perseverance means to hang in there with hope. You might want to write that down. Perseverance means to hang in there with hope. Because when someone's going through something difficult, you know, our standard line might be something like this. Just hang in there, man. Hang in there, bud. Hang in there, girl. Well, it's one thing just to tell somebody to hang in there. It's another thing to say hang in there with hope. Because the Christian perseveres with hope. What is our hope? We know God is going to work everything together for good. We know that God has a plan. We know that even though David had to leave his physical throne and depart from the city of David, God had not left his throne. Amen. Isaiah writes, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on his throne. In a tough moment for the prophet, when a good king had died, he got a vision of the Lord, and the Lord was seated on his throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple with glory. And the angels sang, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. In a tough year, you know, when someone dies, it's tough. When a good king dies, for Isaiah, it was difficult. And what did he get? He got a vision that the Lord had not left his throne. David had left his physical throne. His son was going to try to sit on that throne. But David was still the king. And God had a plan. And Absalom would not become the king. But David had to go through the trial. And this is something that God promised David. Because of what he had done, he was going to have to go through these things. And they were going to be difficult and challenging. I want you to see in James 1:12, though, James pronounces a blessing on those who what? Who persevere under trial. For once he has been approved, this person who goes through the trial, hanging in there with hope, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Something similar in James 1:2, it says, consider it all joy, my brethren, James 1:2, when you encounter various trials, knowing, this is what you can know, that the testing of your faith produces, what does it produce? Endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. The word consider is not an automatic. It seems it's an arrived at mindset. You have to consider it this way. You have to look at it this way. You have to re-look at it this way. And it's hard. Because when you're going through a trial, imagine a court trial. Let's just imagine for a second, just that by way of illustration, that you were on trial for something. That's a difficult thing, right? Whether you're innocent or guilty, let's just assume for the moment that you've been falsely accused and you're innocent and you're going through a court trial. That's the heaviest time in people's lives. And a literal trial in your life, a spiritual trial, if you will, as you go through it, can be tough. And the mindset is you need to consider it this way because of the end result, not necessarily the process, but the end result. Amen. You have to have long-term thinking in your trials. And I would tell you, I'm the first to be guilty about short-term thinking in my trials. In my trials, this is usually what I'm saying. Get this over with now. Please. Give me patience, but hurry. Amen? And God doesn't have the same mindset, so he gives us these scriptures that we can hang in there when we're going through stuff. Flip over a little bit to your right to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1. Peter's talking about trials here, and he's writing to a suffering, persecuted church, and he says these words. He says, he's talking about the fact that they are protected by the power of God in verse 5, 1 Peter 1, 5. God's got you. He's got you protected. But he says in 1:6, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, apparently some trials are necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I think the thought here is that when you stand before the Lord, part of the reward is going to be how you persevered through trials, how you hung in there with hope, how you tried to keep your eyes on the author and perfecter of your faith. One more I want to show you. It's the book of Romans, a little bit back now. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans 5. And we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're secure in him, but we're going to go through stuff. And Paul makes it a little bit more difficult because he talks about your attitude through the trial. This is where I am greatly challenged. I'll just confess it. Romans 5 verse 3 says, and not only this, Romans 5, 3, but we also exult or rejoice in our tribulations, knowing... And here's why we can rejoice. Knowing that tribulation brings about what? Perseverance. And perseverance brings proven character. Think about a trial is supposed to put, literally, a trial in Greek means to put to the proof. To prove what's there. That this perseverance would produce proven character, and proven character brings what? Hope. And perseverance, I gave you a definition, means to hang in there with hope. And that hope will not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. And by the way, the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our future redemption. He is the down payment. He is what God has given to us, the third person of the Holy Trinity, guaranteeing that what God started in you, he will complete. He who began a good work in you will complete it to the day of Christ. By the way, the day of Christ is the day of the Lord. Until he comes back, he's going to finish what he started in you. And so there's attitude here. We're supposed to rejoice in our tribulation. How many of you have seen those silly commercials? I think it's a TV or cable thing where people are doing things that normally would be disastrous, like spilling hot coffee on themselves, sitting on gum, running into a window with food, and they start cracking up. Somebody's banging into the back of them with a shopping cart, and they're like, yeah. And you're like, what? Now, there's going to be Super Bowl commercials on today, right? So you guys... There'll be some new ones, but here's the deal. That seems so silly to us, and the idea of rejoicing in tribulation seems, I don't know about for you, but for me it seems almost like sitting on gum and laughing about it, or stepping in gum and going, what? I don't think the Bible's saying that we're supposed to be phony in our trials. I think God already knows that our natural response is going to be, this is a bummer. What happened? Why? But I think the constant idea in Scripture is to know that God is on his throne, he's working, and you can hang in there with hope. Now, we're not going to make light of trials, because we know that when we go through a trial, it's very difficult. If you turn over to 2 Samuel... And we'll come to the end of chapter 15. It's hard. And I don't think the Bible's telling us to be phony. I think the Bible is saying to us, though, to make sure you include God in the mindset of your trials. Make sure that he's in the equation when you're assessing how you'll respond. Because the truth of the matter is, sometimes when a trial comes, we don't do real well. And it causes us to look in the mirror and say, what is my faith really based on? Am I a circumstantial Christian? Am I a Christian only when things are good? My bank account's good. I'm being treated well at work. Everything's good in my family. I feel good and healthy. Look, those are all the things that we all want. But when they're not, God's doing something. In fact, in our trials, God is proving our faith and stretching our faith and making us more dependent on him, which makes us more like him because we need him more when we're in the trials.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Did you miss part of today's message? You can always listen again on demand. Catch every teaching from Pastor Michael Lance on the Walk in Truth app or wherever you listen to podcasts. It's an easy way to keep growing in God's Word and stay grounded in biblical truth throughout your week. Just search for Walk in Truth and start listening anytime.
Your financial support helps keep Walk in Truth on the radio, and it also helps us reach people all over the world through the podcast. That means someone driving home from work, someone on a morning walk, or even someone on the other side of the globe can hear the hope of Jesus right when they need it most. And here's the cool part, every gift helps. Even a small step like becoming a monthly partner for just $5 a month makes a big impact. Think about it, for the price of less than one coffee, you could help keep Bible teaching going out day after day. So would you join us? Head over to walkintruth.com. That's walkintruth.com and become a partner today. And thank you.
We'd love to hear from you. If today's teaching on Walk in Truth encouraged you, challenged you, or raised a question, reach out and let us know. Send your comments, reactions, or questions to contact@walkintruth.com or give us a call at 844-48-TRUTH. Your story and feedback matter, and they help us continue equipping believers to apply God's truth to their daily walk. That's contact@walkintruth.com or 844-48-TRUTH. We look forward to hearing from you.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
And it causes us to look in the mirror and say, what is my faith really based on? Am I a circumstantial Christian? Am I a Christian only when things are good? My bank account's good. I'm being treated well at work. Everything's good in my family. I feel good and healthy. Look, those are all the things that we all want. But when they're not, God's doing something. In fact, in our trials, God is proving our faith and stretching our faith and making us more dependent on him, which makes us more like him because we need him more when we're in the trials. So one of God's tools in the tool shed is trials. If I had a vote, I wouldn't vote for it. I'm going to tell you right now. I'd prefer smooth sailing, but I know that I tend to grow the most when I'm in trials. And so Jesus said to the apostles, "You are those who have stood by me in my trials," Luke 2:28. "And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you," this is actually Luke 22:28 through 30, "that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Did the apostles have trials after Jesus went back to heaven? Oh, yeah. They had to deal with false teaching, false apostles, persecution, and 11 of the 12 apostles apparently died a martyr's death. And that was his hand-picked apostles, you guys. The Christian way is not necessarily the easy way, but it's the blessed way. And it's a big picture life. It's not just about the here and now. My son is going to Biola, And he said he was sharing with me, he's in a philosophy class, and they played a little clip by Jim Carrey, famous actor, comedian. I don't know if any of you saw this clip, but he showed up at some Hollywood event, and an interviewer began to interview him on the black carpet. Whatever they call it, the red carpet. I think it was black. I'll tell you this, Jim Carrey had a black attitude, a dark attitude, and here's why. He showed up there and he said, good to see you here. And he said, I just decided to find the most meaningless event that was happening and attend it. She goes, well, what do you mean? Oh, this is all meaningless. Everything we're doing here is meaningless. In fact, I'm just a field of energy. Something or someone or whatever gave me a name and a personality, but none of this is real. You're not real. She's not real. He's not real. Nothing's real. So this began to circulate around some of the news agencies, and they were trying to figure out if he was serious or not. And he looked angry and depressed, and he tried to clarify what he meant in a later interview, and pretty much what he said is what he meant. He has no hope, no meaning. He doesn't know what life is really about. Now, this is Jim Carrey. You would think if you hung out with Jim Carrey one night, it'd be a pretty fun night. Because what philosophers and authors and people who have gotten to the top of the mountain with fame and fortune, and you would think hanging out with a comedian like Jim Carrey would be a lot of fun. And do you know what? Based upon that interview and interviews afterwards, he's a miserable wreck. You know why? He doesn't know what life's about. He's got success, he's got fame, he's got money, and he thinks he's a field of energy that something somewhere gave him a personality and nothing's real. Life's an illusion. What? You see, this is what we're talking about when we're talking about worldview. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about whether or not you know the God who made you. You know what truth is. You know what life's about. You know what a transcendent cause is. Everybody with me? This is real life. And if you don't have a transcendent cause and you don't know the truth which Jesus said would set you free, you will be bound by these silly philosophies that will take you nowhere. They're a dead end. That's all they are. Now, David, in the trial of his life, we pick up the story as he is crossing the Kidron. This is verse 23, 2 Samuel 15. While all the country was weeping with a loud voice, 15:23, all the people passed over or crossed over. The king also passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. They were headed probably in the direction of Jericho. And so one thing I wanted to share with you is, I'm just going to give you some little nuggets, is trials help us to pass over with further dependence on God. Do you think trials help us to pass over thresholds with further dependence on God? Do you think that David maybe had taken for granted his throne? Do you think that maybe David had taken for granted that he'd wake up every day in Jerusalem and that everything would be the same? I think so. I think for a while, when we get comfortable and we get in a routine, and David was even in Jerusalem when kings normally were at war, that's when he got himself in trouble with Bathsheba. I think he began to take for granted his throne and everything that God had given him. He had forgotten who he was. And now, with this great trial, there's a lot of psalms that are credited to this time. I shared Psalm 3 with you last Sunday, which its heading says when David was running from Absalom. That's when he wrote it. Sometimes God will produce in us things that even help others. He will comfort us in all our trials or all our struggles. He's the God of all comfort so that we can comfort others who are going through their own trials. So it's more than just our own internal maturation. It's also that we can help minister to others. So trials can help mature you, but then they can help you minister to others. I mentioned to you the Kidron Valley marked a boundary going outside the city of Jerusalem. You're heading east towards the Mount of Olives. A heavy time for everyone. David's heavy walk across the Kidron Valley is steps that Jesus would actually take the night that he was betrayed. They're gapped by 1,000 years. And when Jesus crossed the Kidron Valley, which is John 18:1, he headed into the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane literally is a name for an olive press. It's a part of the olive press. Here's what happens. They take olives and they throw them into something that's called a sea or a round basin. And then with something like basalt rock pulled by a beast of burden like a donkey, what happens is the large round stone begins to crack the olives open. And then literally a Gethsemane, which is kind of a rectangular shaped, almost like pillar, smashes the olives, and through out the bottom of this contraption runs the olive oil. When Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." And Luke records that he was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood to the ground. Here's the picture. The Gethsemane was coming down on Jesus in Gethsemane. And he was the precious olive, if you will, preparing to deal with the horrors of the cross, which he was recoiling from.
You've been listening to Persevering Through Trials, Part 1 on Walk in Truth. That was Pastor Michael's teaching in 2 Samuel 15:24 through 16:14. If you need prayer or encouragement, call us at 844-48-TRUTH. That's 844-48-TRUTH. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
What do you do when you're walking through a season that just feels unfair? And, you know, you want to trust God. You don't want to wallow in discouragement. You don't want to be questioning every angle of your walk with the Lord and why and what are you doing, Lord? And that can be a difficult thing. I heard an analogy that I thought was really cool. It was a group of professional golfers, and they were talking, they're believers, and they were talking about trials. And namely, they were talking about Romans 8:28. And one of the caddies said he had heard a pro surfer who makes surfboards talk about the process of making a surfboard. And he said, you know, every tool that I use on this piece of rectangular foam when I start is a coarse tool. It's, you know, a saw, or a grinder, sandpaper. And, you know, the first thing I do is determine, okay, what is this board going to be? Is it long or short? You know, what's the style of the board? But every tool I apply to it, said this surfer who makes surfboards, is coarse and difficult. And if you were to ask the surfboard if it had personality in the making, hey, is this fun? Does this feel good? It would say no, 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 no. But the outcome is a beautiful surfboard when it's all said and done, when the process is complete. And that's one way to hang on through trials, to know that God is working it together for good somehow, some way, even if you can't see it. He is conforming you into the image of Jesus. That's his goal, Romans 8:28 and 29. And so how can you not be discouraged? You can think about that the trial that God has allowed in your life is going to produce something good, maturity, impact, whatever it may be. And look, it's not always easy to put all the pieces together right in front of you in the midst of the fire. It's difficult. When that surfboard is, you know, being ground on and you know, getting the sandpaper treatment, it's not fun. And maybe that's what we should expect as well, that it's not going to be pleasant. You know, we don't rejoice in the difficulty of a trial, but we rejoice in what it can and will produce in us who love God and are called according to his purpose. I hope that helps you. This is Pastor Michael Lance. This is Walk in Truth. We're so glad you're listening to this broadcast. And hey, if you need somebody to reach out to and encourage you in your walk with the Lord, maybe you're in the midst of a trial, we have a number you can call. It's 844-48-TRUTH. We have pastors available Tuesday through Friday, about 9 to 4 Pacific time. That is 844-48-TRUTH. And you could call if you need some prayer. If you call off hours, just leave your prayer request. Let us know who you are and where you listen. And take advantage of that. because we all need some encouragement. And maybe, you know, you don't have anybody to talk to right now. Well, we are here at 844-48-TRUTH. We'll see you tomorrow.
Remember, Walk in Truth is a listener-supported ministry. Visit walkintruth.com to give. And join us tomorrow for part two of Persevering Through Trials.
Put the ark where it belongs. And if God is gracious to me, and the word grace here is the same we understand in the New Testament, if he gives me unmerited favor, if he's benevolent towards me, I will see it again. I will return again and see the city and see the ark again. I will see the place wherein God, it's set up for God's holy dwelling, if you will. David was hopeful that God would bring him back.
I'm Mike Massaro. Thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, where it's our goal to equip you to reach out with God's truth to all people.